down the references because I'll be going pretty quickly to cover all this today. But the title of my sermon is another song that was written about the same time People Need the Lord was written, and that is Jesus Never Fails. I don't know if you've ever heard that song, but it's a great song as well. Jesus Never Fails, but greater than the song is the truth. Of that is Jesus never fails. He doesn't make mistakes. Nothing slips his mind. He doesn't do anything. He doesn't react wrongly in any way. Jesus never fails. He never makes a mistake. And I know some of us think that about ourselves. You know, I thought I was wrong one time, but I was mistaken. And y'all didn't get that. Some of you did. I heard a groan. But anyway, but Jesus can actually say that. That he never made a mistake. He always responded the right way to the situation. He always said the right statement. And he always, had in his heart the right thing. And so we're going to look at several verses here that Jesus never fails. So I'm going to go ahead and give you the 4 points or 5 points here. And of course, I'll give them to you again as we get there. But we're going to look at Jesus never fails. The Christian shouldn't fail. However, Christians do fail. What that causes and how we should fix it. So that's the five things we're going to look at today. Again, I'll say them again. Jesus never fails. Therefore, the Christian shouldn't ever fail. However, we do fail. What that causes and then what we should do about it. And so we'll get that real quickly today. So we're going to first of all look at Jesus never fails. And it's Joshua 21 and look at verse 45. Joshua 21. In verse 45, it says here, there failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. So the first verse we see here today that Jesus never fails. Anything that He said that He would do, He did it. Anything that His Word says is true. There's not going to be aught of anything which He spoke. It'll all come to pass. And so those verses in there where it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall save them. There's nobody that can say, well, not me, I've done too much. Or not me, there's no. He said in His book, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In other words, you will go to heaven. The Bible also says that God will supply all of our need. Okay? Well, not me. I'm too broke. I'm too much in debt. Or I've made too many mistakes. No. God says He will supply all that you need. God says He'll answer our prayer according to His riches and glory. And so God never fails. So anything that He said in His Word. So first of all, we see that God's Word never fails. Number two. And I'll just read these for you. You can write it down. 1 Corinthians 1:9. We see here not only does His Word never fail, His call never failed. Sometimes, as I was driving from here to Virginia, we would go behind a mountain or down in a big old hole, and my phone would say SOS. I think that says searching of service or something like that, or the call failed. It would not go through. But Jesus' call never fails. When the Holy Spirit speaks to us, there's no interruption. We can't be in too deep of a hole. When He calls us, His call never fails. It's found in 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful, by whom ye are called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And so when He invites you, that's what our theme is this year. We're going to lift up the name of Jesus and just let Him draw. That's the way to do it, is to just lift up Christ. We're not going to lift up the pastor. We're not going to lift up the members. We're not going to lift up the facilities. We're not going to, even though all that, with the exception of the pastor, is great. All right? But that's not the promise. God says if He be lifted up, He will draw all men. So His call never fails. Galatians 5:1. It says here, His liberty never fails. Galatians 5:1 says this, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And so we see here that we're at liberty to do anything that we want to after we're saved, and it will not unsave us. But it can entangle us again into the world of bondage. And so it's kind of like the person that's living in sin And they're like, I just need to be saved. Why? Because I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. And I need to be saved. And they get saved and they have that clean feeling. Obviously, we're not saved by feeling, but we have a clean feeling that all of our sins have been put in the depths of the sea, far as the east is from the west, and behind God's back, forgiven just if we'd never sinned. We have that clean feeling. Why in the world would we want to go back to the bondage? It's kind of like, obviously, and I know that temptation is strong. If a person has been addicted to something and they finally get free from it, and that 1 year, and that 2 year, and that 3 year, why in the world would they want to go back? And that's what God's saying here is God, you know, His liberty never fails. He's not going to unsave you. But why would you want to get tangled up in that again? Next one, Philippians 4:7, it says here, His peace never fails. His peace never fails. Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding. I mean, I'm going through this situation, and I got this heartache, but I feel the peace of God. I don't understand that. Okay, that's what it says. The peace of God will pass all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And so it's in perspective of His peace. Next, we see in Hebrews 13:8 that Jesus, He never fails. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same today, or yesterday, and today, and forever. He never fails. He was the same back in the Bible times. He was the same in our time, and He'll be the same in our grandkids and our great-great-grands and so on and so forth. He will always be the same. He will never fail. So Jesus never fails. Now, because He never fails, and that's just a few of them, I could spend the rest of the day showing you points in the Bible where Jesus will never fail at what He promised He will do. But what I want to go to next is Christians should not fail. Right? Why? Because I guess, let me say it this way. Because Jesus never fails, He wants, desires, and even expects us to never fail. He was like, I've given you the pattern. And back when I would help my dad build some things, sometimes I would be the saw guy, he'd be the nailer, and so forth. And you know, he would holler down a measurement, and you know, again, sometimes you know, I would mess it up or whatever, things like that. So he would cut me a pattern, and he said, "Okay, point the pencil inward. Don't let it go sideways. Get it tight, and you cut that line every time. Every time. Why? Because he expected it to be that measurement. And if I would follow the pattern." Put it on there, flush it up, draw it, cut it. It would be the exact same every time. Now, that's hard to do in a house these days. You go in a brand new house and you look down the hallway and the wall goes like this. All right, maybe they were just guesstimating. If I put the pattern up there and say, okay, that looks about like that. It would be different every time and I would fail. And, measure twice, cut once type stuff. That's what Jesus said. Look, I never failed. I gave you a pattern, and I want you to follow it. And if you will, you're promised not to fail. So, why Christians should not fail? Number one, because Jesus gave us a divine nature. 2 Peter 1:4, because Jesus gave us, when you get saved, Jesus gives you a divine nature. So the same nature that's in Him is in you when you get saved. 2 Peter 1:4, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises. So God's given us some great and precious promises. That by these ye might be partakers, here it is, of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. So Jesus is like, look, when I saved you, I gave you the Holy Spirit. I gave you a divine nature. Now, unfortunately, He didn't take this old nature away, this old man, this lustful nature away. So we have that battle inside of us. And so we either listen to the old nature or we listen to the divine nature. We either listen to the Holy Spirit or we listen to our own flesh. But it's possible for us not to fail. Because He says, I promise you, if you are hot between two opinions, like the Bible said, I will give you what to do. And if you'll listen to the Holy Spirit, you will never fail because you will always do what Jesus would have done. So, why should Christians never fail? Why? Number one, because Jesus gave us a divine nature when He saved us. Secondly, because He quickened us. That's a word we don't use a lot, but the Bible says that He quickened us. It teaches in the Bible that before we're saved, we are dead in our trespasses and sins, the Bible said. So we're like we're dead. But when you get saved and that Holy Spirit comes inside of you and you get that divine nature, He quickens you. He makes you alive again. And that's what quicken means. In Romans 8:11 says this, "But the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead." So the same Spirit that told Jesus to come out of that grave 3 days later, that same Spirit dwelleth in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. So again, we see that Jesus was dead. He gave up the ghost, the Bible said. He was in that grave. But 3 days later, that Spirit said, "Hey, come back alive." And it raised Jesus up. And of course, that's one thing that we have to believe to be saved, that He rose from the grave. But that same Spirit, the Bible says, lives inside of us and it'll quicken us. So that small, still voice that's inside of us makes it possible for us not to fail. I mean, we're fixing to give somebody a piece of our mind, and I mean, teeth are gritted and fingers pointed, and boy, they deserve this. And the Holy Spirit says, "Don't say it." He caused us not to fail. That person that comes around you and cuts in front of you, the flesh wants to go back around, cut back in front of them, maybe even slam on the brakes. All right, that's what your flesh wants to do. Don't tell me you hadn't thought about it. All right, but the Holy Spirit said, "Don't do that. Let it go." Causes us not to fail. So we see it's possible for us not to fail. Why? Because God gave us a divine Spirit. Secondly, because He quickens us. Thirdly, because His infallible guide. Because His infallible guide. That pattern that my dad gave me, cut it, make sure I want them all this length right here. It was infallible. There was no way it was going to grow between the time He threw it to me and I caught it. All right, and then I cut a piece and threw it back up there. It was not going to grow. It was going to stay the same. It's infallible. Same thing. Jesus says here, "I'll give you an infallible guide." Obviously, we've already talked about Him. It's that Comforter. It's that Holy Spirit. But it's also His Word. 2 Timothy 3:16, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." So how can a Christian not fail? Number one, listen to His divine Spirit. Number two, allow that Spirit to quicken us. Number three, follow His infallible guide. What does the Bible say? Well, this is what the Bible says. I will do that. We did not fail. This is what the Bible says. Well, that's stupid. That don't make sense. I'm not going to do that. Failure. Follow the infallible guide. Well, what does the Bible say about that? Well, do this, this, this. Okay, do it. Success. God says, "Hey, a Christian can never fail, just like I never failed. I gave you a divine nature. I quickened you. I brought you back to life. I've given you an infallible guide." John 16:13 says this, "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come." So the Holy Spirit and that book right there is our infallible guide. Another verse is found in Isaiah 35:8. Isaiah 35:8 says this, "An highway shall be there, and a way." So in other words, two different ways here. A highway, at least a 4-lane, right? And a way. And that way may just be like a game trail down through the woods. But you can definitely see them both. "And highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for a throne, or for those wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein." So again, we have a choice. God says, okay, the way to failure, the way to success. I mean, it looks like a lot of people are going down this road, but the Bible says go down this road. But that's just a little bitty skinny trail. Success. So how can a Christian not fail? By having His divine Spirit, by being quickened, by following that infallible God guide. Next, because Jesus gives us sufficient provision. Because Jesus gives us sufficient provision. 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always have all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. I think in that verse it wraps up that a Christian can live a life and not fail. It says here, God's able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, every time, every day, every year, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. In other words, God's saying, look, I will help you if you will let me. I will give you everything you need to not make a mistake. Philippians 4:19, but God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So God's got it. He's got the sufficiency. Well, I can't make it through life without failing. That you're exactly right. I can't either. But we have a God that says, hey, I'll give you anything you need, when you need it, where you need it, and how much of it you need. If you'll just let me, I can help you not fail. Next one, because Jesus has been tempted and offers us a way out. In other words, Jesus is not saying, hey, look, the reason I don't fail is because I'm God. If He did say that, it would be true. But He's saying, I didn't fail, but I was tempted at every point, just like you're going to be tempted throughout your life, yet without sin. He's like, I've done it. I know what I'm talking about. The devil's not going to catch me off guard. The devil's not going to offer a temptation. I'm like, never seen that one before. I don't know what to tell him. I don't know how to guide him around it. Oh my goodness, we're up a creek without a paddle. Oh no, that doesn't happen to God. It says here, He's been tempted and He's offered us a way of escape. I'll read the verses. Hebrews 2:18. For in that He Himself hath suffered, being tempted, He is able to succor, give aid to them that are tempted. So in Hebrews 2:18, the Bible says that Jesus was tempted, and He suffered just like we're suffering. He's getting that temptation, and so He knows what to say to go around it. Again, driving from here to Virginia, obviously GPS, Google Maps, all that kind of stuff. You know, shortest route, route without tolls. I guess you can do route without highways. Good luck with that. You might be on one of those game trails if you do that. But anyway, it has that. But I also talk to people that have driven it before. I know that GPS says this, but that road, man, it is crooked as the day is long. And the speed limit on there is way lower. And so take this route. Why? Because they've done it before. That's exactly what Jesus is saying here. He Himself has suffered being tempted. He's able to give us aid or succor that is being tempted. Hebrews 4:15. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we, yet without sin. So Jesus is not going to say, suck it up, buttercup. He's going to say, been there, done that. Okay? So obviously neither one of those verses I just quoted are in the Bible. Okay? But anyway, He's not going to tell you that. He's basically saying, I get it. I feel you. I know what you're going through. I was there. But what I did, I listened to what God said. I listened to the principles in the Bible. I applied them. Obviously, He was God, and He made it through. Here it is, 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above ye are able. And I've questioned this verse before. Like, God, that's a whole lot of temptation coming right there. But it says right here, He's not going to suffer us to be tempted above that we are able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. Here's the temptation. It is so hard that I feel like I don't know that I'm going to be able to bear that. And all of a sudden, lo, there's a way. There's that way. There's that game trail. Just go down here and get away from it. And God says that you're able to bear it. You did not fail because you listened to Him. Next, we see here why Christians should not fail. Because Jesus promised them power. Jesus promised them power. If we try to do it in our flesh, we're going to fail. If we try to do it in our intellect, we're going to fail. If we try to do it in any other way except Jesus' power, we are going to fail. But Jesus is like, look, I've given you a way out. I've been there, done that. I've quickened you. I've raised you. I've given you a new nature. I've given you a guide. But also, He says, I'll give you the power to not fail. Jude 24 says, now unto him that is able. Listen to these promises. It's like, well, he's going to give it his best shot. He's going to give it the old college try. Well, you know, 9 out of 10 times it's okay. No. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceedingly joy. This verse right here basically says that I saved you. You're my child. I'm going with you every step. I'll help you over that log. I'll help you climb that hill. I'll help you do that. And then when we get to heaven, He's going to dust us off and set us up there right in front of God and say, this is one of ours. Okay? So we're either going to have a lot of failures that day that's going to rob us from rewards, or we're going to let God give us the power to go through life and not fail. He says right here, I'll do it. Jude 25 says this, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. So God can do that. He's like, hey, I got power to save you. Hey, I've got power to keep you saved. Hey, I've got power to keep you from falling, like verse 24 says. I also got the power to keep you from failing. I have the power to enable you to face anything in life. I have the power to help you witness. I have the power to help you make it all the way to heaven and present you with exceedingly joy. It's kind of like, you know, a parent, they see their kid do something and they post it on Facebook. Why? Because they're proud. Look at this report card. Straight A's. Boom. Proud. Exceedingly proud. Look at this trophy they won. Exceedingly. Look at what they built. Look at what they painted. Look at what they did. I mean, that's Jesus said in verse 24 of Jude, I want to help you to be presented to God, and I want to be exceedingly proud of you. I want to have that exceedingly joy. Next, how can a Christian make it through life without failing? Because Jesus expects us to. Sometimes that expectation is what gets us there. When that alarm clock goes off in the morning, you're not going to want to go to work. But your boss expects you to be there. So that expectation kind of helps you get up and get in your car, drink your 5 cups of coffee, all right, and go to work. Why? Because your boss expects you to be there or you might get fired. So we see the Bible says that Jesus expects us not to fail. He's like, duh. I gave you divine power. I quickened you. You were dead in your trespasses and sin. I saved you. Now you're alive. I gave you the Holy Spirit. I gave you the Bible. I'll give you power. I'll hold your hand. I'll guide you. I'll give you that way instead of that way. I'll do all this. Duh! You shouldn't fail. I give you all that. 1 Corinthians 15:57 and 58. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory. I've given you the way not to fail. I've made it so plain as the nose is on your face. I mean, all you have to do is just do it. Now, obviously, we know our flesh is in the way, the devil's in the way, this world gets in the way, all those things we have to battle. But God's like, I've given you the victory. That through Jesus Christ our Lord, verse 58 says this, therefore, because I've given you the victory, and I've given you all those things, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I've given you the victory already. So, we see here, why should Christians not fail? Divine nature. We've been quickened. We have an infallible guide. God gives us sufficiency in our provision. He's been tempted. He knows the way around it. He gives us the power, and He expects us to. Now, saying all that, we know that Jesus never fails. And I believe we would all agree that God's made it possible for us to make it through life without failing. But we still do. Number three today, why Christians do fail. So sometimes maybe this might help us more than those other things, because we know those things and it's just hard. But maybe these things are what sneaks up on us and causes us to fail. So maybe if we're watching out for them, we'll fail less. And this is tough. And we've already read that one verse about this. Why do Christians fail? Because they forsake God. I would never forsake God. Well, when you go against all those things He's given us, it's kind of like forsaking Him. And it says here, and getting entangled again. And I've seen it. People get saved. They start coming to church. Boy, they're reading their Bible. They got questions. And all of a sudden, they miss a Sunday. You're like, well, where'd you go? Oh, some buddies that I used to hang out with back in the day. Oh, yeah, we shouldn't have done it, but we... And they're getting entangled again. This is guaranteed failure as a Christian. 2 Peter 2:20. For if after ye have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I got saved. I know drinking, smoking, cussing, and all that kind of stuff. I know that's of the world. God delivered me from it. It says it right here. You've been delivered from the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are again entangled therein and overcome the latter end worse than them than from the beginning. And I thought, that verse... tough. So what I've seen is there was a person, maybe they were dabbling with some of this sin in the world, and they get saved. So they get entangled again. And so they're going to say, nobody's going to tell me what to do, and they go worse into it. Or they feel that conviction of the Holy Spirit saying, hey, I saved you out of that. You shouldn't be doing it. And they rebel, and they get worse into it. That's what that verse is saying. Saying that they forsook God, getting entangled again, and it says right there in that verse, worse than they were than even from the beginning. Galatians 5:1, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. We read that earlier. So, why Christians fail? Because they forsake God and they get entangled in the world again. Number two, just mentioned this one, because of stubbornness. Well, I don't have stubbornness. I can't say that either. All right. Psalm 81:11. But my people would not hearken to the voice of Israel, and would none of me. Just, you seen that kid? You're trying to tell them what to do, and they do that. And you get louder, and they go, la, 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 la. They don't want to hear. That's exactly what this verse is saying. 1 Samuel 15:23. For rebellion is the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is an iniquity and idolatry, because they have rejected the word of the Lord and hath also rejected thee from being king. So we see here, why does Christians fail? They get entangled again. Second, because of stubbornness. Number three, why does Christians fail again? Because they fear men. I ain't scared of anybody. Listen to what it's saying. A lot of people, they make mistakes. They fail because they're scared of what people think about them. They're scared of what people's going to say. Well, how are they going to feel about me? 1 Samuel 15:24. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words. So he's, look, I know I'm saved now, but I've sinned. I've went back. I've got entangled. I failed what the Bible says. I even failed what the preacher said. He's talking to Samuel here. I have sinned. I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words. But it says here, because I feared the people and I obeyed their voice. This is why Christians fail. They'll get saved and they'll try to start living for God, but those old buddies... And those old buddy vets, hey, you think you're better than we are now? Well, I don't want people to think that about me. Hey, you know, you're righteous Rob now, Bible Bob. You're all this, all that. What we got to do is get where we don't care, except what God thinks of us. They failed because they feared men. Next, because of worldliness. Matthew 13:22. He also that received seed among the thorns, and he that heareth the word, and care of the world, and the deceitfulness of the riches, choked the word, all because of became unfruitfulness. So we see here they got tangled up in worldliness. Why do Christians fail? Next, because of disobedience. Psalm 106:34-36, it says this: they did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them. And so this is what was told of them by God. Okay, now that you're God's people, you destroy the enemy. I mean, every one of them. And of course, there's several places in the Bible where it was told to take care of them. What's this lowing of the sheep? Well, we thought we could keep them and sacrifice them. You know, we're being spiritual now. But they disobeyed what God said. And God had to punish them. Verse 35 says here, but they mingled among the heathen and learned their works. Verse 36, and they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. So God had told them to destroy every one of them. But they didn't. They disobeyed. They started mingling with them. They started learning their works, learning their songs, learning their Bible, learning their gods, and they served their idols. So why did they mess up and fail? Because of disobedience. Next, and I think this is the last one on this, because of misplaced confidence. Because of misplaced confidence. Why does Christians fail? Misplaced confidence. 2 Chronicles 16:7 says this: and at the time, Hananiah, the seer, all right, so he was the ruler, he was overseeing everything. He came to Asa, the king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God. So we see here this guy failed. Why? Because he put his confidence in man, or he put his confidence in this other king and instead of the Lord. And God told him, because of your misplaced confidence, you failed. Psalm 118:8 says this: it is better to trust the Lord than to put confidence in man. Last one. I thought aloud, I guess. I'm not even going to say it's the last one. I hadn't turned the page. Because of pride. Proverbs 16:18. Pride goeth before destruction, haughty spirit before fall. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on thine own understandings, and all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Yeah, there's several more. Sorry. Why do Christians fail? Because of self-sufficiency. Self-sufficiency. Revelation 3:17 says this: but thou sayest, I am rich, I increased with goods, I have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And so self-sufficiency will cause us to fail. We don't need God. We don't need prayer. We don't need anything. We've got this. That will cause Christians to fail. Next, because of neglect of the little things. Neglect of little things. Of course, in Song of Solomon, it talks about they were building that wall, and they were dogging them about their craftsmanship, and they were dogging them about line upon line, precept upon precept, and they said, you know, a fox can jump on that and it's going to fall. And I mean, it's even bad enough if a little baby fox jumped up on that wall, it would fail. So we've got to watch the little things. Because of unbelief, Psalm 78:22, because they believed not in God and trusted not of His salvation. So we saw, first of all, Jesus never fails. Secondly, we saw that Christians should not fail. We saw, number three, Christians do fail. And what does it bring? And I'm just going to give you these words. We won't read the verses for sake of time. It'll bring disappointment. It'll bring discouragement. It'll bring dishonor to God. It'll bring defeat. And it'll bring disqualification. So we see that when we fail, it does bring things. So what should we do? And this is what we'll end up with. And it's just got a few. What should we do? Because Jesus never failed. And I agree with Him. He gives me a way not to fail. But then I end up failing. Kind of like Paul. That which I would not. And that which I would not, that's what I would. Blah, 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 blah. Confused as all get out. In other words, Paul was saying, the things I want to do, I don't do them. But the things I don't want to do, that's what I end up doing. And I make a mistake. We've all been there. We all are there. So what do? First of all, we thank God for His mercy. because he never failed. And even though I fail, he doesn't unsave me. It's just like my kids. My kids failed, but I didn't unkid them. They were my kid. I loved them. I prayed for them. I instructed them. I tried to help them. That's what God does. So don't throw up your hands and say, I failed. I made so many mistakes that I'm done. No. His mercy endures forever, the Bible says. It's new every morning. So what do we have to do? Get up, dust ourselves off, and said, you know, I went down the highway. I should have went down the way, little path. I should have taken advantage of all that God had given me, but I didn't. I made a mistake. So now what? 1 John 1:9. Confess your sin. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Your kid probably has to have a bath every day. I know some of your kids, they probably need a couple of baths every day. All right? God expects it. Okay? He expects us to not fail, but then He expects us to. Because He knows it's a struggle, it's that battle. That's why the Bible says that He prays for us. He prays that we take advantage of what He's given us. But He's like, if you do fail, I'm right here for you. I'll forgive you. I'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Return from the backsliding. What should we do? Return from backsliding. Hosea 14:1-4 says this, O Israel, return unto the Lord, for thou hast fallen in that iniquity. Take with you words and turn to the Lord, saying to Him, take away all the iniquity and receive us graciously so we can render the calves of our lips. Verse 4, I will heal their backsliding. I love them freely. Or I'm sorry, I will love and them freely, from mine anger is turned away from them. So we see Hosea prophesied. He's like, God didn't fail. Christians shouldn't fail. But they're going to. But when they do, it says here, God will heal us, cleanse us from all sins. He will heal us from our backsliding. And it says here, He will turn away His anger from us. I mean, what a blessing. So then what do? Confess our sins, forsake our sins, return from our backsliding, and here it is, seek God's will again. Luke 22:42, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. So Christians, we're going to make a mistake. So what do? We confess. We return. We seek. And then, kind of like we've all heard, learn from your mistakes. Learn from your mistakes, and a biblical big word is consecration. Consecration. In other words, take, man, how much God loved me, and I blew it, but He still loves me. He forgave me from that, and I want Him again. Oh, I don't want to go back there again. There's a verse in the Bible, I can't remember where it's at, but it kind of basically gives you the mindset of sin. In other words, it says vehement hatred. In other words, I got to learn to hate that. I don't want to disappoint God anymore. I don't want to have to ask Him to forgive me for this again. God, please help me. That's what consecration does. Once you realize, didn't deserve to be saved, but God saved me. I blew it, but God forgave me. I don't want that. I want this consecrated life. I want to try my best. Be ye perfect for I am perfect. I want to try not to fail. Consecration of our life is found in Romans 12:1-2. I beseech you therefore, brethren. That's what Paul's saying. I beg of you. I've told you we didn't deserve it. I was the chief. I was the most wicked sinner. And God forgave me. And I tried and I blew it. I tried and I blew it. I don't want to do that, but I ended up doing that. But now I'm living this consecrated life. I remember that. And I'm begging you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, take advantage of those mercies. But then present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world. Don't go get entangled again. Get away from it. Set barriers up, whatever you have to do. Give no place to the devil. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. I want to be successful. I don't want to be a failure. I want to be successful, not a failure. I'm renewing my mind. That you may prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God, Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with such a great cloud of witness, let us lay aside. That really just don't mean much to me anymore. All right? I don't know that it's a sin or not, but it's a weight. It's keeping me from pleasing God, so I'm just going to lay it aside. This is a consecrated life. It might be a sin. So if it might be, I'm laying it aside. I don't necessarily even think it is a sin, but it's slowing me up from living my life for God. So I'm just going to lay it aside. Every weight and that sin that doth so easily beset us, that besetting sin that just keeps coming back, A consecrated life, we're going to have to set it down. And it says here, claim God's promises. 2 Peter 1, 4-8 tells us to walk humbly before God and abide in Him, and He promises to abide in us. So we saw why Christians or why Jesus never fails. Then we saw, secondly, Christians shouldn't fail. And then we saw that Christians do fail. And it brings all those things, disappointment, discouragement, disqualifications from things. But what do? We confess it, we turn from it, and we renew our mind in a consecrated life. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you. Lord, that's a lot of material, a lot of truth. Lord, we know you never fail. And God, you desire for us not to fail. And you've given us so many ways and opportunities and promises and tools to use not to fail. But we seem to end up finding a way to fail. But then you've got a fix for that. It's called confession. And returning, and then trying to consecrate. And Lord, we thank you for the Bible promises so that we can live a life of never failing. Let's all stand. Brother Derrickson leads the invitation. If you'd just like to come talk to Jesus, if you're not saved, we can take a Bible and show you how to be saved. If you are saved and you're living in the entangled, get unentangled. Get away from that stuff. Let's have that consecrated life. Brother Derrickson.